We're already here.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning, warning.
We gotta stop them. They're gonna kill us all.
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they a government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human being.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it. That unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Right, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hand of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given right, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern in Studio B at revolution.radio.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
And that would be me, Bill Grant, your host of Dreamer Saturday night on the 10 to midnight show. Studio B, June 19th or Juneteenth, according to others at this time. Of which I did hear a couple of interesting takes on that. I used to know more about that. I barely know anything about that now. And, of course, Trump may have been part of the reason why it was put through as a holiday. But anyway, this is Revolution Radio at revolution.radio, freedomslips.com. We are supported by you. We do need your donations. You know, whatever you can give while you're able to give it, while we are able to take it, to keep, as they sometimes say, keep the lights on. Now, if it was up to me, I mean, I wouldn't use an electric company, wouldn't pay anyone for electricity, and you wouldn't have to if it was up to me, and a few others scattered throughout our history. Oh, a bunch of great shows today. I got to listen to at least part of most of them, maybe all of them, at least on A and maybe some on B or one or two on B. I'm a little wiped out from the heat. I'm very wiped out. The last few days just kept getting hotter and hotter and hotter. And it's pretty hot right now. And I'm not naked. I'm kind of dressed down. I'm covered. I'm totally covered. I'm not in underwear. I'm not in little bikini shorts or anything like that, but I mean, I got my thin artificial clothes on. They're pretty nice, but thin. Hopefully it'll be cooling down as I go on. I will be on Solaris's show tonight. Hello, Solaris, if you're listening. And thank you for the invitation. Of course, it was fun filling in for her over a year or two ago as well, and listening to other fill-in hosts also. And you guys did good together, you and AMAD. AMAD Painter filling in for Mark Schneider's Ohio Exopolitics. Exopolitics meaning off-world. Exo. Politics off-world. And usually relating to mostly Billy Meyer stuff, of which I think is a hoax. I'm not God yet, so I don't know that absolutely. I'm pretty sure I do know it's a hoax. Of course, I know off-worlders do exist. And to get back to the Juneteenth, though, I'm trying to hang in there. I'm like low oxygen tonight. Very high humidity, I forgot to ask. So basically, for me today, it was actually 95 actual degrees and very high humidity. And it's still very high humidity. It was supposed to rain, at least locally, not necessarily right here. But it didn't rain. It just beat on me. So, you're welcome. It'll be fun. So I'm going to be basically getting off, jumping right off here tonight and hop skipping right on over to Solaris. And that would be Solaris Blue Raven. And basically, she calls herself, reminds me of Monster. I always revert mentally to Monster, to Godzilla or Godzilla something. Now often in chat. Oh, I forgot to even try to get in chat. I'm sorry, folks. But anyway, Chris, I will be giving you a call tomorrow out there. And great show. I'm glad Giuseppe and Scorpio came on with me last weekend. And Dude Guy, D-E-W Dude Guy out there the weekend before that. But everyone had a great show today. I actually was up early enough and heard enough of Fetcho today and his call-ins. Not sure exactly what I'm going to say. I have a whole notebook full of stuff I never get to, so I'll find something exactly. I'm kind of wiped out mentally. I forget exactly what happened over the damn week. And, you know, World War III just continues as far as I'm concerned. Juneteenth. And let's see, a couple comments about, Harrison Smith, who does, you know, one of the AJ's hosts, does the American Journal. See, I used to write down, abbreviate, like for AJ, you know. If AJ said something, I made a little one-word note or something on, I'd put AJ or on AJ, so like guest on AJ's, right, someone I want to follow up on. And or a comment I like, or, you know, medical information or something, you know, I'd have to write AJ dot dot, you know. But now I can't do that exactly anymore, because like with Harrison Smith on in the morning instead of David Knight, both have their qualities, extra great qualities. They all do. But that's American Journal. That's AJ. I can't just write AJ, because I have to be accurate. I take accurate notes. So I have to put, how do I put it? It could put HS, but how did I put it? It was something else, something similar. It was, I forgot how I write it now. I have to go back to reinventing again my own notes. As I usually do, I invent something, you know, conceptually, just an idea, something I know has already been done, but it's important for you to do it yourself. You write it down, jot it down, note it, date it, time it. And, but I always have to redo it. Years go by and then I come up with the same idea, like probably over and over and over again, actually. And it's just like, so now I have to, plus I try to remind myself, I have reminders. So I just simply write again. And, so many people following my footsteps now, and so many sites and host and guests repeating things that have been long, long ago in my past, I had finished up, wrapped up by the time I was 15, maybe 17 in some cases. And I wanted to be the one to say all this stuff, all of it, everything you're hearing now, everything, and every station, every guest, every host, each thing they focus on was something individually I was going to focus on personally. Wrap up, catch up on again, catch up and read up on again, refresh up on everything, get everything straight. And now everybody's doing it. Everybody's got their niche, but each one of those niches are all of my niches. They're all are, all of them. David Dubine's niche, Electric Universe, this and that. And each and everything I've studied in my life to some degree rapidly and finding repeatedly mixed in with other information and notes and sources one way or another, repeating and things I came up with myself many times by observing nature and just life. And it's kind of aggravating, and it's kind of like gives me hope at the same time. I mean, I'm really sick of people having word, like it's every time I write something down, every time I say it or think it, within 24 hours or minutes, somebody will say it. Something that hasn't been said for many years, months, or just something that not really normally being spoken about at the moment. I'm honestly, what am I doing here? I'm trapped in this planet that sort of needs me desperately and doesn't need me at all. If it's not, like, I have to do it my way. I don't want it done other people's way. On the other hand, I'm glad everyone's catching up. I'm kind of repeating myself in that, but trying to say it in a different way, and it's still happening over and over again, like every day. It's every day, every single day. It's a consequence of being a Time Lord in a way that's a joke, in a way that's serious. I have been called the Time Lord, and in a way it is true. I am a Time Lord. And I absolutely do see through time. I'm absolutely connected to the future and people and what's going to happen or about to happen. Unfortunately, and for you, I don't watch the news anymore, hardly much at all, and keep up in many ways, which usually gets sent backwards in time through my brain, to me, into my dreams or visions. And then I would be able to tell you what's going to happen in the future. Because again, the brain is a time machine. The mind is a time machine. And machines ultimately don't really exist. The only thing that does exist is thought. And our soul is not broken up into an infinite number of beings throughout an infinite number of slices in time and space. We're one with all of time. We are one piece. The bottom of our mind is the past. The top is the future. We are one solid unit, indivisible. And what the hell was that noise? Somebody probably monitoring. And wait a minute, let me fix this. Oh, yeah. I didn't read the whole message, Solaris. Yes, thank you. It'll be fun. I kind of did. I kind of knew where the message was going off to the side. Okay, 13 minutes. I'm kind of wondering what the beep was, the dot, and talking about roundtable tonight. And Trucker will be on, it looks like. AMAD will be on roundtable tonight. And John Wayne probably as well. Good show. I meant to kind of get to everyone like tonight. Basically, you know, I heard every show, you know, Fecho's, AMAD and Solaris in place of Mark Schneider, but Scorpio's show today as well, Dave Scorpio and Ivy. But also, of course, before the show tonight was a listen to the girls' night for me. And didn't get to hear any of John Wayne. I kind of came in a little late and just popped on Bridget and Kelsey. So both were there tonight. Talking about campgrounds and the prices, you know, it's still pretty absurd. You're supposed to get a month. See, everything went up, artificially inflated, and now even more so. And especially in expensive places where homes would need the down payments and, you know, high rents and all that stuff. Oh, yeah, of course, camping is going to come out on top. But camping is supposed to be free or practically free. And no way, no how is popping up my own tent, a little tent, onto a patch of dirt, usually with rocks underneath, on a sloped hill, just because I have access to water and a shower place a distant away, sometimes a pool. No way rectifies paying $15 a night, unless it was only just one night or a few nights. And the longer you stay, it's not supposed to come remotely close to what you would pay in a full trailer with complete permanent water running all the time. Running water, running bathrooms, running showers and baths, garden hose, a yard, a garden, a shed, trees and bushes and patios for like a total after paying electric bills and water bills and just internet. It should only really be realistically be no more than $500 a month. Five, six, 3 to 6. I mean, with everything included, it should be like probably 5. But depending on how nice it is and all that. But campgrounds are not supposed to be comparable to renting a damn thing. You pull up in your own car with your own little portable flimsy house, which is not a house, not even a dog house. I don't care how big it is. And the bigger it is and the more you have, the more they're going to charge you. That was part of my problem with finding a home. They closed half of them down. The rest were completely full and they others just did not want to admit anyone because of COVID, and the interaction to sign up would have been brief, and it's like applying for a mortgage. Forget it. This is crazy. You know, the land is not supposed to be owned. Not the woods behind your home or in your town. It's not supposed to be put aside for the goddamn mafia to chop down, to be given a special deal and special rights to build homes there in order for them to sell it to someone with the expectation someone's going to buy it. No. No, that's been completely wrong. You've all been misled. You're all too used to society as it is, civilization as you thought it's supposed to go and be. It's like England too, like I always say. Civilization is supposed to still be kind of random. It's supposed to be still more independent. Unify in greater and greater abilities, but with more and more like-minded people, with the ability to escape, enter and exit easily, definitely be beneficial to all. It's just such a usury planet. It's practically unfathomable. My people, what I used to think was my people, my kind, my country, went in this direction. They actually got taken down, reversed, got tested and pushed and prodded and drained. And you all let it happen. You all let society go in the direction it went and do more and more and more conformity, more and more communistic, pushy communistic views of communism. Not a commune, but a commune as in tight, locked up, ruling your life commune. And the government owns the whole planet and all the land, and someone else decides what to do with the woods and the forests and the deserts. It's supposed to be random. You're supposed to be wandering the woods, picking berries, sometimes having a little settlement. And your settlement sometimes can grow and connect and call it a city if you want, but it's still, you don't own anything around you. You don't own what's behind your home. You don't own down the street. If there's a street, you don't own the river, you don't own anything. It's up for grabs for the next person's son and daughter who got raised from their hut or their commune to go out and find a spot they like and chop it down and turn it into their land. And if you don't like it, too damn bad. It's free. They can hire someone if they want to build it for them, but it shouldn't be made for you. It shouldn't be there. It shouldn't be a gift given to the mafia, to the mob. Because that's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is everywhere. They chopped up the land, they divided it into states, and they said, these are your limitations. And I can understand limitations. I can understand trying to say this is our compared to the other city, the other kind of folks who live a different way, believe a little bit of a talk different and, you know, worship different or whatever. I can understand putting borders. I can understand having, you know, territories to a degree, which eventually are supposed to merge. The more like you become, the more you realize you're more like each other than you thought, or you're becoming, your kids are becoming more like each other than we were. And all we have is pre-made homes that all demand a mortgage by the pre-made banks and the pre-made packages by the pre-made money system, which is all run out of the country by absolute certifiable nut job tyrants. And you all just went with it, went with the old English, the old queen and king and proper, prim and proper, and the way we, you know, the old fashioned follow culture, follow tradition. I don't follow tradition. Some traditions became traditional for a good reason at the time and got passed over and passed on. And some can be, you know, a nice memory and little celebration. I don't believe in ritual. I don't believe in tradition. I don't believe in following culture for tradition or culture's sake. I don't believe in wearing the same clothes as the past. I don't believe in any copycatting anything if it's not functional. You're supposed to find a new way, a new look, a better, more form-fitting clothing and more to the environment. If you don't need clothes, you shouldn't be wearing any. If you need a lot of clothes, you should make it a point to make the best, warmest clothes you can possibly make. And the most functional. And of course, culture is supposed to develop and find new things to add all the time. And certain things are supposed to drop away and finally drop off and just die. Maybe not die. Just should not be looked at as something to follow because someone followed it. You should not do something because somebody else did it. You should not believe something because someone else believed that. It's supposed to be ever changing, ever growing, ever unifying in some ways, ever dividing in others. It's supposed to be getting rid of the bad and finding the new, taking and borrowing from each other what you now believe and accept, whereas you did not accept or believe earlier. Although hang on to the parts you do believe, and they, the other culture, hangs on to the parts they believe different from you still. But you have more unity in some ways, and maybe both of you dropped off even more issues and ideas and ideologies and religions. It's all invented along the way. All of it was. I don't believe in accepting anything just because it was passed on, passed down. Even if it works, doesn't mean it's the best way it's supposed to work. It just worked well enough for that time and that place for those people. And you shouldn't be bringing oil to you. You shouldn't be bringing water to you. You're supposed to go and live around the water and the oil. In some ways, that can't be done realistically. And some kinds, sometimes, it shouldn't be done. It's like you shouldn't really live around a volcano, even though you're getting free heat. On some worlds, that's all they can do, and it works out well, but not this one. Stay away from volcanoes. Some free things you shouldn't accept, and find a nice balance. Find out how close you can get is really the best way. And drill down into that. What's under, what's heating that volcano, that, you know, caldera, the magma chamber and all that, which may extend way, way, way far out, far from the volcano, but still safe enough for you to be over parts of it, far enough from the actual volcano vent to still tap into the heat and the magma and maybe the upswelling of the boiling water and steam and stuff like that. And people keep wanting to surround things and prevent everyone from going. Everything everyone wants to go see and everyone should have the chance to see. I don't believe in preserving many things. In a way I do, partly. I believe everyone should touch things. Go. I don't care if it destroys it. It's supposed to be touched. It's there to be touched. You touched it. They touched it. Your ancestors touched it. It's our turn. We want to touch it. That rock, that special area, go sliding in that natural slide. Screw the fact that you think there's too many people because you don't like too many people around you. You're uncomfortable with people sliding in your natural spring slide. And I'm talking from experience. I don't like when police start coming around and park rangers start coming around and the UN starts coming around and tapers this area off and tapes that area off and coordinates this area off. There's so many things. There's barely enough time to see it all. Barely anyone's ever going to be able to visit any of these things anyway. There'll be so many things to go see. Let it all, everyone spread out and go see everything that they can. They're still never going to be. They're still never going to ever get to all these things in their lifetimes. And not everyone's going to care or be interested or ever go back. Don't worry about it. Everything's temporary. Everything is going to be destroyed one day. Everything is going to be worn away, worn down, eroded, blown up, volcanoed, earthquaked. It's not going to be there to worry about protecting. This is now. It's now is when everything matters. And plus you can plan on the future, and that matters even more in some cases. You have to be able to plan and predict to create something. You have to know what to expect. You have to have time to create too and be in a good environment, a safe environment for a long enough time to plan, do, absorb anything, especially meditate. You can't escape a world that keeps trying to kill you every second. And if you know you have life after death, then you don't need to meditate to get there. You just try to survive. And if you get killed, well, you know, you're going to be alive. It's not entirely true, actually. It is for some. I keep saying, I really hate the excuse that, don't worry, we live forever. No, it's about now. It's about mastering the now, doing what you can now for the future, mostly. But do what you can for the now. Everything else goes to the future. You're not going to have, you need to control your outcome. You're not going to be able to control it all, but you're supposed to control as much as you can control. You're supposed to be in charge as much as you can be in charge. And you're supposed to spend your time trying to find out how to make more time. And you're supposed to spend that time trying to figure out more ways to control your final outcome, to preserve the future in a way. But I'm sort of going off on many tangents because the notes I have in front of me are kind of more or less for later, not now. And I'd have to flip stuff here. But I wanted to get back to the girls, Bridget and Kelsey, show a little bit about the camping and stuff. They're talking about like shamanism and how the Indians created a new world to go to. And I don't entirely believe that. I see how it's possible, at least temporarily possible, not permanently possible. And I was partly trained a little bit by people directly involved in those groups as part of my past, as part of the many things and phases I went through. And there's only one real physical universe, I'm sorry to tell you all. There are many mental planes and one final infinite plane. And I sort of keep repeating that in different ways, sometimes the same. There's only one actual physical plane. There's only one real physical universe. Everything else is just a mental creation. And they are pretty, pretty real. But all of those are temporary. They're self-created. They only last a certain amount of time. In the end, you are permanently infinite. But until you're absolutely, literally God, God level, nothing is permanent. So especially so in the real physical universe, the actual physical universe, the one physical universe that has chemistry and physics and solid objects and particles and light frequency waves, ultimately made out of the ether, which is physical. It's solid. They're a bunch of solid balls that fly into space and banging into each other and bouncing off each other and knocking each other into opposite directions or at deflected angles. That's the real physical universe. Ultimately, that's fake too in one way. But in another way, it's completely, absolutely, complete and total reality. And it's not going away and it never will go away. As a real or imagined solid, it's not going away. The memory, the laws, the math, the construct, the formula, the program, the mindscape will always exist. Always. It's not ever going away. It will not cease to exist. It'll always manifest to someone, at least someone, as the physical universe. And one of the most important things we have to deal with is the physical universe. You must master the physical universe completely in order to leave it forever. And while you're doing that, you also have to be mastering your mind and preparing your spirit. And my advice is to be as open-minded as possible, but to add that joke, not to be so open-minded that your brains will fall out. But I don't actually take that joke as the way other people do, because in one way, you need to be absolutely open-minded. In another way, you need to be completely closed-minded, totally closed-minded, because there is an absolute final answer. It's not random willy-nilly. The answers are answers. They are answers. They are the final answer. There's not going to be any maneuvering around. It's not going to be relative. In some ways, you could say it is. But in another way, it will be absolute and total and final. 2 + 2 = 4. You can create a relatively different size and shape and way to say what a 2 is, or there's 2 versions of 2, and then create a new math, and that'll be accurate. But when you're talking about hard, basic 2 + 2, 2 billion balls of these exact sizes plus 2 more exact same size, same shape, same weight, same density, same matter, billion balls equals 4 billion balls. It's 4. The answer is 4. It's not 5. It's not 5 and a billionth. It's not 2. It's not 125, 200 trillion, 3 billion, 5 million, 762.5.586. It's not that. It's 4. It's not 3. It's not 5. It's not above 5. It's not below 4. It is 4. There is not a gray area. It's not a sliding scale. All knowledge is absolute. It is final. We do and we can have the and get the answers. And until you have the real answers, you're living in non-reality. And you're not going to control the outcome of your life correctly, nor others. And you will be subject to the non-reality. You will be subject to reality, whether you like it or not, or know it or not, or understand it or not. Whatever you believe is happening. The mind is very powerful. And the physical universe is just as powerful until you completely, truly unravel it. Completely unravel it. Completely analyze it. Totally understand it. Understand every single bit in it. How and why it came out of your mind. How and why it does and does not relate to your mind, body, and soul. And how your very thoughts, emotions, intentions, and actions will cause what kind of chain reaction and final outcome for everyone, and what will circle back to you. Circle back. And, you know, I don't generally use the terms linear and all that stuff. I used to when I was a kid. in some ways it matters, in some ways it doesn't. Everything is right and everything is wrong the way I look at it on this damn planet. And there's so much I would have been able to do, at least in book form and movie form in a lot of ways, if this damn world wasn't so freaking fractured. You would have had the benefits. I mean, you talk about Tesla. Tesla was okay. He was pretty smart. He was much better at math than I was, in a way, actually. In other minor ways, I was much well beyond. But I hated math at a certain point. I kind of intentionally, it was too dry for me. It was really more about how school was kind of pushing it on me, the way they were, the way the teacher was. And I liked the teacher. I didn't hate the guy. Sometimes I hated him, but some of those teachers. But religion and the spirit and learning my particular brand of learning, getting to what I wanted to when I wanted to, was the best way I learned. And I didn't care what they wanted me to know when they wanted me to know it. So I kind of dropped a lot of math, but it didn't make any difference, as I knew it wouldn't. And eventually I planned on summing that all up with the answers to pi and all kinds of stuff. Of course, that got stolen as well from the people of this planet. All stolen. Everything I did to try to save all of you. Stolen, lost, missing, ruined, wrecked, buried, flooded, burned, blown up, taken, just every attempt I made, squashed. And it's because of the Illuminati, it's because of our government, and it's because of all people on Earth, and the direct people involved who did it, the ineptness of this planet, period, and because of aliens. But let me try to find, kind of skip ahead. I want to get back to the Toltec Indian stuff Kelsey was talking about, and, well, Bridget and Kelsey. They brought up, you know, I went on a tangent because they were talking about the $15 a night cheapest, basically the cheapest rent to have a spot to pop up a damn tent. That's ridiculous. It's kind of okay right then and there, right at 15. It should be like $7, 5 to 15, some cases nicer ones, 20 and above. Depends on how many things they hook you up with and all that. And it's just a place that cuts some trees down in the woods, folks. That's what I was trying to get at. They don't own the woods. You have just as much right to just find a spot off the side of any road, just about. Chop the damn trees down right there and pop up a tent, as they did for just finding that spot in the woods themselves and taking a chainsaw down to it and a few bulldozers and saying, I'm going to charge you money to put up a tent here, when I can go anywhere I want in the damn woods. Anywhere at all. The woods were always everyone's home, except the exact spot. You know, you couldn't pitch a tent exactly over where somebody else already made a little hut or a tent or built a log cabin or occupied that cave in the cliff. You guys all went off the charts. You got absorbed into civilization completely. You all are. You're all too used to electricity from an electric grid. You're all of you are too used to using cell phones and so on. And I believe in civilization, just not this way. I am not a nature lover in any normal nature loving sense. And I am not a futurist in any normal future sense. I'm not like any of you out there. I am very different. I had a very different, you know, evolution. I definitely had the greatest amount of changes at just below too many changes, except maybe recently. And it's all gone. You're all trapped. That's what I'm getting at. $45 a night to pitch a tent in a spot I could have just found a little hole in the woods and popped one up, and everyone should have left me alone. Just, they should leave you alone now just as much as they should have left you alone at any time in history. Any time. If you think there's been any time in history when someone was okay to pitch anywhere and call it a home, of course, they're probably going to keep moving on, moving on, moving on. Just like anyone else they might have bumped into through the woods. Family, tribe, or individual, couple, you simply met in the middle of the woods and said, how you doing? I came from there and had this food that way, and but there wasn't enough water, and I'm do you know where this water is? Like, no, well, there was water there, but no food, and so we need to go left and right, and okay, or this is a pretty good area. I'm going to be over here. I'll see you tomorrow, maybe. And you go foraging or hunting together, and some may make a garden or a farm. And that was your home. There was no taxes, nor should there have been. There was no, you have to do this, and you must join our town, and you must do things our way. It's, this is how I live. Generally, people live generally the same. We have a general same belief. It's generally the same religion of Christians, basically, who came over here to the New World. And then Indians had generally the same beliefs as the Indians that were here. Or wherever, whatever land it was at the time. And you chop down trees. No one had any right to even ask you not to chop a tree down. I'm not a tree lover to the extent where I think we shouldn't chop down whole areas for new neighborhoods that are updated that will eventually regrow trees, regrow and beautify and add life, especially now everyone loving in the modern world anyway, loving exotic pets and having grand schemes for their pets, not stupid little things people used to complain about. Oh, you're trapping them. They're in a cage. Stop being bleeding hearts. Look, they're getting free food. In some ways, it's not that great for them. In some ways, it's very good. They're completely protected from predators and all kinds of stuff. And they're taken well care of in the modern world. I'm finding out that the modern world I came from almost doesn't exist. That's part of what's on my mind. California, New York was very modern. The big cities are very modern, but completely corrupted in so many ways and void of, you know, actual good amounts of life, like trees and stuff. And way too overrun by crime, way too abused, just the criminal mind type. Or the scatterbrain type in some ways and other ways, very modern. But they're trapped in a place that is completely, completely off the trail as far as you're all in a trap that will all come crashing down. I believe in absolute modernization. I love futurist, even big cities. If all backup systems and ways of life, the foundation of life was always there and ready to fall back on. And no one was too dependent on anything, on the system, on the incoming food, the day-to-day, you know, delivery of food from a foreign source packaged by foreign people. If they never became that dependent, I would be all for it. If everyone was completely involved in, personally involved in, constantly monitoring their food sources and who's doing what and staring at themselves for their own health sake, and being involved and being responsible in both city futurist mechanical aspects combined with biological complete organic aspects, the science of organics, as well as eventually, of course, coming to the evolution of all religions into a universal religion. I'm all for so much of what a lot of the Illuminati believes in, and so against them in so many ways and what they've done and how they've reversed everything against everyone instead of uplifted everyone. And we are supposed to evolve into a one world religion. We are supposed to evolve into a one world, not necessarily government, but united front. Evolve, though, in some cases, annihilate the absolutely brutal primitive by force, by death, by war. I'm not against war. I am mostly against war. But when it's time to go to war, it's on. And it's supposed to be on. And it's not supposed to be nice. Try to make it as nice as possible. If that is an acceptable, you know, it depends on the enemy and how much of an enemy they are, how much coercion they would need to not be your enemy anymore. In other words, to be able to come to some cooperation, some coexistence, that's acceptable. But Islam and Muslim and Zionist types, no. No, they don't play nice. They're never going to. They're not going to. They've made it an effort. They've made it part of their religion, their philosophy, their command of their God to not join in with the rest of the reindeer. No reindeer games for them. It's only games for them against you and to put you into the game life. Into the game. They want you on the all battling each other in front of them in a basically Roman, you know, Colosseum. And that's where they got it from. That's where the Romans got it from. That's where they got their influence from. To me, it's been a mix of primitivism, psychotics, amoralists, ultra-moralists, zealots, the completely delusional, with the middle grounders just running amok in between all this mess the whole time, trying to make their way through life, not really accepting or even seeing for certain how bad everything is around them, but they're still trying to make their way and aren't exactly part of what they're being steered through, not on purpose. And a lot of those good people, those good versions, you know, they might give in up to their points, and then they will have already decided they're not going to. If this happens, that's my line. They've made their line in their mind, some of them. I don't think it's enough. And I just don't think it's going to work out very well in the next few years for the majority either way. So I keep trying to say prepare. And I'm not saying don't fight. I'm not saying aim for the complete reversal of the degenerate destruction that's happened to everyone. And that is going to happen. It's not reversible. Get that out of your head. It's not reversible for a great number of people. That is not going to happen. You are not going to save them. We are not going to Rainbow Land tomorrow. We're not going to have Candyland tomorrow. It is not going to be easy. It's going to be really a wake-up call. And for those that may or may not reincarnate into this planet's future, if it has any at all, or those who have recently died and are recently being born, I feel really bad for you because I see such little progress from where I came from those times, mostly you could say in the 70s, in my area. That was the best this world ever had, with some scattered areas like that in ways similar that just evolved into degeneracy. I come from the most balanced place, from the most balanced time on Earth. That's not coming back. I doubt that's coming back, and I don't want to repeat it, to be honest. But those people I see everywhere on my travels, California was sort of catching up in many ways and accelerating in spiritual ways, also still mostly Illuminati type. Basically devil worshippers out there living in an awesome land, catching up technologically as well as a few places here and there. Everything else is just lost in the past. Everywhere else is lost in the past. Everyone else is not mentally sophisticated in a... I mean, sophistication is the word. I mean, kind of just not even where I was when I was born. That implies one thing and one thing only. Their future must be what I already went through in their next life. That means their next life in the future of now is not going to be more complicated than what I already went through a long time ago. That means the Earth is not going to advance. You're not going to an awesome future. The people of today's world in general are not sophisticated enough to have the world I have already lived. It's long over. That's long in my distant past. People today, in some places I've traveled to, it's just the beginning. It's just the beginning for them of what my family went through when they were growing up, as they were kids. My grandparents, as they were kids, are what the people I've been seeing on my travels, the thoughts in their head, the complexity of them. I mean, this is shocking to me. I don't like saying this. I don't want this to be true. That's the reason you all got one slammed over on you. It's the reason. That's the reason elitism formed. It's the reason Harvard and psychologists and the secret space program was able to form. Basically, the minds of the majority are still of just people who just came out of log cabin times. I didn't grow up in log cabin times. I didn't grow up in a way I did. They still had log cabins and stuff in states around me in undeveloped areas, and they were homey and kind of fun to have for people who just owned them for fun as a second home. We didn't have trailers. We had full houses. Some were small. They were full real houses. And I'm just seeing so much of the world hasn't gotten to the point that my parents and grandparents mastered like 100 years, 100 years-ish before that. I mean, we had free energy or the knowledge of how to make it and that it's definitely real by Faraday. As soon as electricity, the generation of electricity happened. As soon as it happened, as soon as they discovered electricity and how to generate it, they already knew the basic, what was to develop into free energy, the Faraday paradox disk. And then, of course, that was immediately picked up on by others, and then Tesla, of which improved that and made his own separate, completely separate version of free energy as well. Immediately, all that was done and over with, finished, done. Mostly normal science, normal electronics, not abnormal, normal, known, officially known, officially admitted. And here you are, just like the citizens of England surrounding the queen in the castle on her land, and the prince, who is now dead, Prince Philip, who really was a king. And You're just all like, oh, long live the queen, long live the queen. We'll just farm here and do this job, and the queen is good, and we have parliament, and we're free, and we got the Magna Carta and parliament, and we're free, and we're just so sophisticated. No, you're not. You are all idiots. People in Canada and all socialist countries, or any country still even remotely tied to parliamentaryism, was our enemy. We did not even accept that, even though we were suckered as well. It still took a bigger sucker game to a freer, more higher intellect people who eventually caved in, of which I said was going to happen. Everything got reversed. And I said it was going to all be reversed because people's minds are lazy. You grew up in a school system. You gave in to culturalism instead of just learning and adding on new science, new ways of life, new tolerance in some areas, and new intolerances to certain groups that you should have intolerated, should have been intolerable. No waiting around, no talking it out, no voting, anything. Up and bam! Done. You are finished today. Today. The moment people would have heard things happening of 100 different issues of today's world that has already been happening over the months, days, weeks, years, and decades. Person from the past would have just didn't make any difference what the herd is doing, what was voted on, or what somebody said in the middle of town square on a soapbox. No, what you what? Bam! Your head is off. You are in that noose. You are kicked over that cliff with my damn foot. I don't care what the town folk thinks. I will go to the priest. I will say, please forgive me. I hope that, I didn't overreact in this case, but I had to do it. That was pure evil. We are not tolerating that shit in around my neighborhood, in my woods, in my town, in my state, or my country. Bam! Done! You are history! You are physically brain smashed! Your blood is on the rocks! No waiting or wondering or praying it out. Please donate during the break. Back in five-ish.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The perfect triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
Please, come on, please. Hi, Karl Marx here. I am all seriousness today, my friends. There is this show you must not listen to. The ultimate remedy with this guy, LB. This guy has figured me out. I hear it on Tuesday, and he is telling the truth. I mean lies. Stay away from this guy. Where's my good hairbrush? Anybody see my mama?
Want to learn more about the Marxist agenda and other important stuff? Listen to The Ultimate Remedy with L.B. Bork, Tuesdays, 6 p.m. Eastern, right here on Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Broadcasting live from the peak of Mount Warning, the most easterly point of Australia, tune in to the Free Manatee Radio Show with your host, Spread Love, every Monday, 6 a.m. EST. On the show each week, we discuss realistic solutions to help you observe rather than take part in the globalist agenda. We will dig into the past to find solutions for the future. We will discuss the wisdom of Ayurveda, the science of life, for techniques for understanding and achieving personal health and longevity. Please join us every Monday on Studio A, 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the Free Manatee Radio broadcast with your host, Spread Love, on Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio.
All right, let's show them what we got here.
This is Revolution Radio, and you're listening to Dreamer with Bill Grant, here at freedomslips.com.
Yeah, that's another good one by Richard, I think. Maybe it was a collaborative work in action between Richard, A Mad Painter, and maybe Mr. Rowe. It sounds pretty good. My kind of song I would listen to and love, although one of these days I'm gonna figure out exactly how I want, like, I wanna nail it. Of course, that's probably never going to happen. I'm probably going to be homeless in a couple months anyway. So goodbye to everybody. Sorry, forget everything I tried to do for you. It's not going to happen. This world is too corrupt. It's too shattered. It's gone. The world is gone. The people are gone. There's nothing good here. It was an illusion to even come to this place. It's just practice. I mean, I'm just here to practice for when I'm like the Mars movie, can't think of the damn name now. I always know what the name is. Anyway, all right. This is Dreamer. This is Bill Grant, your host of Dreamer on Revolution Radio at revolution.radio, a listener-supported station. So hopefully you just clicked in, got into the homepage or the chat room and found out how to donate whatever you can while you still can. And keep our lights on. Unfortunately, you know, most people in the studio and everything else has to pay an electric bill. We don't pay the host. I don't receive money. And, we don't have real commercials from, as I used to say, corporate callers to tell us what we can't say. Like, you know, the drug companies say, oh, any of these things, but don't say that. Don't point the finger there. Don't talk about Fauci. Don't say mommy and daddy and we'll pay you $1 billion as long as you live, even though you're not going to live for so long because of us, because you did that. So anyway, something like that. And so please donate in all kinds of ways. And Bitcoin, you can do that. I'm actually not even for Bitcoin. I'm actually turning against that more than ever now. I've been on the fence about it. I hoped we could turn around what I always thought was going to be the PSYOP. And I don't think it was natural. And even if it was, it always was in the past. And they just let this particular one go through at the time they chose it to for their purposes. And I had hoped by the manner in which Mr. Rowe talks about to try to use it to your advantage and positive and as free as we can get it, that we could actually do that if we had a better grip on our government, the Pentagon and NASA and everything else, China, Russia. I am not for Russia. I kind of like Putin. He's definitely my favorite Ruski. But I still don't trust him. I still think they're all in on it together, including Trump. I'm not for Trump. I see all the clues. I was fighting those clues, as I told you I was, for your sake. But no, I see all of what he could have done and didn't do and how it could have went and should have went and what he should have said and how he should have said it. And no, he's in on it. So is Putin. Or Putin's, they're all being used and they know exactly how to use them. Exactly. We knew all these tricks that were played on us over the years. We, the alternative media and insiders and whistleblowers, always kept saying, this is coming. This is how they do it. This is how we're being misled. This is how we're being tricked. And these are the words they use. These are the logics they have. And they stonewall. They pretend they're good, but they stonewall. They say they're for something, but they almost let it happen, but intentionally have opposition and intentionally give in to the opposition, intentionally are slowed down, intentionally reversed by the next guy, and so on. We know the tricks. We were told what the tricks were. I figured out what they were going to be because I had planned on I might need to be a bad guy. What would I do? How would I do it? This is what I need to do. This is how I need to do it. This is how I need to act. This is what I need to say. And after that trick, if they catch on to that, I'm going to go to this one and they'll be like, oh, okay. And it'll buy me a little more time, but I'll already have plan A through Z and then way beyond to string and string and string and string you along and string you along some more and more and get this next guy and get that next girl and say this now and switch and flip to do the flip and then reverse that and just keep you thinking, all right, you're winning. No, you're not winning. Oh, okay. He's for us on that. He's not on this, but on that. Well, he's good, but he just happened to have resistance and it just didn't go right. And it's just the people around him that he happened to hire that are all Jews and so on and so on. And so they're tricks. He's a sorcerer. He's a Templar. He's a scorpion. The way they talk about, hey, I'm a scorpion. I'm a snake. The story he said about Hillary was himself. He wasn't talking about Hillary. Donald Trump was telling you who he was. He was telling you he's not going to tell you what he's going to do to you. Remember with the military, you don't tell the military. I might tell you. Well, you'll see. You'll find out. No, we're supposed to know exactly what you're going to do and put our vote to it. We'll tell you what you're going to do. You don't hide anything. You're not hiding almost anything. No, he said he doesn't believe in telling the enemy on what he's going to be doing to them. If we were going to go to war or pull troops out or make any particular moves or do not use nukes or only use little missiles and only send robots and not people or one robot per every three people and five drones per every 10 or some whatever. That is for us to decide on and how much money you're going to spend. And we're going to see how much it cuts into our belt and our mortgage and our car payments and our this and our that and how much food I have on my table and to see, well, I want to whack them. I hate those guys in the Middle East, but I mean, I'm not losing my house and my kids and not, you know, like they're bad, but they're not that bad. They're only like $20 a month out of my paycheck bad. I mean, I'm only willing to like do so much. I mean, they're not that bad where I'm going to lose my life, lose my country, lose everything, lose this, lose that. No, it's up to us. We'll tell you how much money we're going to put into what programs and how you're going to divvy it up in that big giant pie chart and how much total amount we're willing to pay out of our pockets, if we're going to pay anything at all. And then we're going to tell you what we're willing to allow you to use it on and not blow it, not waste it, not use any maze project or I forget all the names all the time. I know all the programs. I just can't think of them. It's like too much information and I don't think about it all the time. I'm just in survival mode right now. But all these programs, and now we got the Smith-Mundt Act and the bullshit. If we were to allow them to use a Smith-Mundt Act, obviously it's supposed to only be used on the enemy if the enemy is playing tricks on us, and it's to counteract their psychological warfare tricks. You're supposed to be exposing the American people and your citizens to the enemy's tactics being done to you, the propaganda that they spent money on, and you're supposed to tell your people, look, this is a bank. I know it's working out for you, and it seems good, but this is who we, led in the country with their foreign money, and these are the slaves they got the money from, and these are the tricks they played. Do you really want that bank? And you don't have to pay them, you know. Oh, no, I want to pay them. No. That just keep them open. No, it's okay. I'll just pay my 30 and 40 and extended 10 more year program with only 400% the cost. Yeah, right. That's pretty much where we are today. Just a bunch of zombies, bunch of morons, just willing to put the mask on, keep it on when they don't need to. That's where we are today. Right. So the so-called virus escaped from a Bio4 level four bio lab. After it, got out of the glass tube and out of the petri dish and out of the sterilized air through the sterilized room with all the airlocks and the guys and girls working on, in pressurized rubber suits that you could wear in space and probably be worked just fine. Right. It went through their helmet and their mask and their glass and their plastic and their rubber and their extra thick rubber third layer and fourth layer and their rubber gloves and their triple layered gloves with the sterilization embedded in it and out the airlock through with the negative suction and through the solid walls with lasers bouncing in between them and ultraviolet light and sterilants. And so it made it all through that. And underneath all that, you think wearing a stupid it, like the mold piece is so much smaller than the freaking virus, and virus is smaller than bacteria, bacteria is smaller than mold, and they all divide into weird things. They all, each one of them divides up into all kinds of other life forms that come together and merge as one. We're not even sure what the hell mold and fungus really is, if it really is a bunch of life forms come together sometimes. Somatids and all kinds of stuff. And that lives on, thrives on eating paint and plastic and rocks and the roof on your house and the wood and tile. And that's what your mask is made out of. And it's full of holes. And you think it's going to block this tiny, invisible, never seen, never proven object that supposedly escaped from a lab that we all thought was going to be knocking people down in the street in waves out in the open before your eyes. How stupid are you? No wonder you are now surrounded by a Skynet space force. You're surrounded, you're cornered, and you're trapped. No wonder it was so easy for them to trick you, to lie to you, because you're all into yourselves, your own family, if anything, and nobody else's, into making money, into working your way up into that company and being a bigwig and bragging about your 401k and your big bonuses. And I make $50,000 a year. And we're going to have a pool. Oh, yeah, I go to Carnival Cruises every year. Oh, we're so good. Get the hell out of here. You were all losers. I saw it most of the time. You were all like, okay, people that were just drifting off into the being pulled by the greedy people of the world. You were attracted to them. You were strung along by them. They were stringing you along. Buying a little more time, getting a little more out of you. Another drop of blood, another drop of blood, another drop of sweat. Destroying your family. Making you go out of your mind, forcing you to freaking have to drink and become an alcoholic where your wife divorced you and left you, couldn't take it anymore because you couldn't keep up with paying the bills because the world was effing you over like mad crazy. You could barely go to work, back to work the next day because it was destroying your back and your feet and your knees and you couldn't even sleep at night and you're burning up 90 freaking degrees all the time. Some of you out there. Of course your marriage is wrecked. Your wife was weak. She couldn't be on your side long enough because everybody's a narcissist. Because everyone's too into themselves. Sometimes they were right, though. Sometimes they were right. And I know sometimes you left them. You know what? I'm not going to stop anyone from doing any of that. The work part is what drove everybody apart more than anything, though. When there was work. When it was uplifting as far as the amount of money you get and what you were able to buy for it and keep for the amount of labor you did in the past, which got more and more and more and more and more time and more time and harsher conditions. Breaking your back. You couldn't go to work enough and make it still not make enough money to keep your family together without creating stress. And all these big wigs and bosses, they bought up those countries that were funneled that money for the very purpose of creating that slave driver place. They all were. They were all along the same business model by the same people who had the money. And they had the money because all the money came from out of the country from slave drivers who got their money and wealth from slaves. One way or the other, they got it from slaves because you're a slave wage. And that's not figurative. It's actual. That's what you never got. They meant it literally. You're an actual slave getting paid slave wages. Never enough to compete against any large corporation. Not legally, not, to have the rights to just like all the things involved, all the paperwork involved, all the insurances involved, all designed to keep you down, to keep you from ever even trying. And if you do, your chances of making it after a long time of hardship, you're going to fail in 3 to 5 years. And if you made it at all, you still weren't really making it that big. And if you were that big, chances are you were the target. You were one of the few that made it through and only to make everybody else keep trying. But always in the end, it was still known we're always going to end up exactly where we are now with the communist takeover. They let you slip through because they knew in the end, your business, all of your businesses are going to crash and burn. That's why. See what your hard work did? See? No, you weren't that special. No, you relied on everyone else around you to have your business go, and you were relying on the fact that everyone supposedly believed in freedom, supposedly would protect that freedom, supposedly would never let this happen, never let that happen. That would never happen either, especially not that. How about that? No, that's real. Everybody would up and kill those people if that was real. Hell no, they're not. Hell no, they weren't. Hell no, they didn't. Hell no. You all went to hell instead. You all just fell apart. They'll just fell totally apart. And it's going to continue. And people keep thinking, well, what's going to happen with the markets and this and that? No, it's already decided. It has nothing to do with making money or cash cows. Nothing. They don't believe in that. They're against greed. The actual insider, true secret religion is actually very against greed. They do everything because you're the greedy ones. You're the criminals they're trying to eliminate from the planet. They're trying to overwhelm you, and catch you in the biggest, widest, longest weighted out net to just eventually get you all, because you're all greedy. They don't want you on the planet. Their goal, their job is to get rid of the bad, evil people, all the mundane idiots, evil, actual criminals. They think you're all criminals, and a lot of you in some minor way are. Most people are, to some minor degree. They don't believe in any crime. The people you're fighting are absolute moralists, total moralists, many of them. The others are amoralists, but they literally believe, again, I'll say, stealing one single penny will destroy your soul. And it's actually true. It is true. It will actually cause your death. It's the reason you had to reincarnate. You stole a penny. You caused more than you should have caused to happen to somebody else. Whatever you did or didn't do resulted in somebody else's hardship. Bam, instant karma. You didn't improve the world more than you hurt it. And even if you improved it more than you hurt it, you still hurt the world. So instant karma, go back, do it again, have somebody damage you. Anyway, to go back to the Juneteenth thing, a couple people commented about it, saying it sounds weird now, like extra long, like it's implying, like Harrison Smith, his comment about Juneteenth is like, he used to like the idea. Now, in today's context, he doesn't. And it's like almost like they're making fun of black people, because it's like saying they can't say June 19th. Like it's like making fun of their dumb language, right? And in a way, it might be. It sounds kind of cool, kind of wrapped up in a nice one-word thing. But on the other hand, he was right. And then other people were saying something. I forgot what Scorpio David or Giuseppe was saying about it. But what was that? But basically, so I just wrapped it up in a tighter package. I just wrote Junth. Just simple it up. You know how people are going, devolution of language. Just kept getting simpler and simpler and more grunty, like in single sounding, simplistic, little, not even words. So instead of Juneteenth, Juneteenth or June 19th or Juneteenth, or, Junth, just Junth, shorten it a little more, and then Junth, people can't read. What the hell? It doesn't make any difference. J-U-N-T-H. Might as well. I actually invented a letter to replace T-H. A one letter instead of two letters, by the way. And anytime there was a C-H, and I took the C-H, I made my own letter out of that years ago when I was a kid. It was a very long time ago. And made my own language and stuff. But, so, Junth. Juntha. Junta. Whatever. You know what I mean? It's like de-evolution. Anyway. But, to get back to, okay, I do want to go back to the Toltec stuff. See the training of the Toltecs and the Mayans and shamanistic types and what's called a shaman. Basically, wait, let me drink this up. Let me finish this cup. Switch to my second cup. Okay, put that aside. I actually made 3 cups before the show tonight, because I'm going to have to hop right on over to Solaris's. And God, I hope everybody, I'm not going to be like I am now on Solaris's show. I'm not ready. I'm burnt out from the heat. I mean, I have a ton of notes. I kind of can't exactly get to them. I'm just burnt out. I'm sick of civilization as it is and where I know it's going. And my personal life, again, it's just too, I'm just jaded, okay? So, all right, so anyway, but anyway, Fetcho also talked about, like, the Grand Arch of the Masons. He's pretty smart. He's not just anti-Jew. You know, he's like, he's talking about some esoteric stuff coming up with, coming out with, not symbology exactly, but talking about, like, a pair of dice in paradise and a pair of die and this, the dual meanings and 666 and 111 and all that, of which I used to be more into understanding, but everything just fell apart. I mean, I just couldn't hold all the information together. It's just, I need an office like everybody else does, okay? I need a real home, a real civilization, real people around me that really understand simple stuff or complicated stuff. I need some of my old friends back that actually knew what the hell I was talking about and I understood them, okay? Like, over everyone's head these days. You can't have, like, a complicated discussion. There's not, outside of our listeners here and alternative this and just new age stuff, or, I mean, the physicists of today, they're like talking about all kinds of things, string theory, like that's like the most complicated things, the most like people follow, and that's all wrong. It's intentionally wrong. And the timelines issue, I have a problem with. I'm like, I'm sort of for it and I'm sort of against it, mostly because of personal responsibility issues of people and cause and effect issues people have to master first. But everything else is intentionally confusing or misleading or trying to make you think you're smarter than you actually are in all the colleges and stuff. And now they're all just plain Marxists. But anyway, okay, the Toltec Indian stuff. Now, they learned methods of the mind and the soul, and I'm blowing a little gnat away that was coming towards me and getting a breath in a sense. But see, that's one way to master the universe. That's one form of mastery. And it was one of the many methods leading kind of to the same thing. See, we have the one universe, which is the union of all of us. And then we all have our own individual universes, just our universe. And that's really one we create, and we can create one. But those are bubbles. Those are entire traps. In a way, they connect to everyone. In a way, they connect. It'll be connected to someone. But in the main, most important understanding is whether the Indians that disappeared or not, actually disappeared physically. I'm not convinced that's true. I see why a lot of people believe that. There's logic to it. There's real logic to it. The physical teleportation. I know people that have teleported. I know people that have floated. I may have. Not sure. And I know people that can fly. I know people that can leave their body as if it's a full solid body. I know people that have gone out of the galaxy in many ways, in ways I have. I believe everything is possible. And the people who believe that that is true are the ones who actually end up being able to do it if they're already, first of all, advanced enough, have enough energy from the past. Know it's true, not just believe it. In some relative way, at least, are intense enough about it, desire it enough, have a strong enough desire, have that feeling, have that target in them. They, and only they, can do it, especially the ones that have trained to do it. And I don't believe in training. In a way I do, in a way I don't. Nothing given is kept. Nothing. No knowledge, no artifact, no physical object. No energy, no life, nothing. No technology, no understanding of any kind. Everything is learned on your own. That is the only place you advance, and that is the only thing you keep. And you bring that to your next life, and that may or may not be part of your next life. In the future, it will, sometime in the future, but then you have to learn the next thing, and you have to create yourself. You have to create the future. You are the one who has to figure it out on your own, implement it, practice it, have it become part of your life and soul, and leave it behind so that it's there for the future in the real world to come back to in knowledge form, in book form, in music form, and statue form or solid form or computer, whatever. But if someone teaches you something, that's just so that it can be taken away. And it's taken away because it's now something your internal knowledge, your internal soul knows can be achieved. It's now part of the soul's reality of knowledge of what can happen, what is possible, what is actually possible. Now I know. I did this, and this was the result with the help of that person who was ahead of me. And ultimately, you were supposed to figure that out just by stumbling through life and accidentally figuring it out anyway. And that is how it's going to happen. And that is how you're going to actually be able to use it in your next life or sometime in the future of the same life or far-flung future. And you try it, then you lose the ability and you lost it because now you have a goal to attain. You want to reattain that, to remake that situation, to recreate that environment, that mental state, that ability, that skill, and that lifestyle, or that safety, that prosperity. See, it was never yours. Someone else taught it to you. That was theirs, not yours. You didn't learn that technique of how to meditate, how to breathe right. Now, we're learning as we go also, but then we also learn by them and what they teach us. The only way we can keep it, or the only reason we may have immediately gained from it, is because it's something we already did on our own in our past. We already naturally noticed that happening when we did such a thing, or slept a certain way, or walked a certain path, or we just kind of accumulated the experience. And the more experience you have, and the more you intentionally do, the more you intentionally learn and intentionally teach, the more will come back to you. Easier and quicker every time. The more you will deserve, and the more you'll keep. But nothing is yours. I mean, I don't go with creation by any typical means, if any at all. And other than like genetic tampering and creation from aliens or whatever, and someone building a home and evolving some way. But in a sense, you were given a perfect body, and I don't say it's perfect. I don't believe the human body's perfect at all. I believe it's good enough for an advancing soul to acquire great heights. And if were to be used properly by the right soul. And but you're given the body and the brains. You choose not to use it. You're not going to. It's expected you're not going to at first. And you go through life. You learn some lessons morally, logically, scientifically, physically, and spiritually. And that's it. You die and you lose it. You lost your ability. You didn't invent anything. You weren't Tesla. You weren't Da Vinci. You weren't an artist. You didn't do anything. You coasted on through life doing drugs, drinking, or whatever, maybe gambling, or just doing nothing, maybe laying back. Maybe you were read stuff, but it was only like sci-fi or only something of non-importance, a novel, which is okay. It's not really terrible. It's not terribly great. It can be good. And even important at times. But what did you do with your life? Did you advance the world around you? Did you yourself advance? No, you abused your brain, or you simply didn't use it. You didn't abuse it, but you didn't use it. You didn't know what it was able to do, and it went to waste. And you did that with your country, some of you with your family. You didn't see in your children, your wife, your girlfriend, your friends, your family, or your neighbors around you, what you are supposed to see. The solutions. And you're going to pay for it. Everything is paid for. Everything. Every thought in your head is paid for with energy. You have to decide to use your energy in life on thinking and learning, teaching and building and creating, or not using it at all, and or using it on something completely wasteful. And you'll lose that. You were given it. You wasted it. You lost it. Now you want it. your next life is, why does this life suck so much? Why do I suck? Why doesn't this work out? Why does this not happen? Why, you know, and I'm not talking about someone like me who is fighting an ultimate enemy, who made early steps on fighting that enemy, of which the problem was mostly the people and not even the enemy around me. I put that energy forth. I made my advancements, and I, in the end, will prosper from it someday. You're not, a lot of you, the ones who let everything go to hell. You lost it. You lost the chance. The chance is gone. It's over. It's done. Or is it? You're going to do it today. You're going to start today. You're going to get on the path right now. Right now. Decide. And I'm not saying decide whose side you're on. Make that point right now. It doesn't matter that you're probably going to die in the next few months or a few years. It doesn't matter. I know you should fight. I still think you're going to die, but I still think you should fight. Because you got to get ready for the next life. It's all just practice. Make the decision right now. You're going to invent. You're going to learn as much as you can. You're going to be more open-minded. You're going to be more accepting, more tolerant. You're going to be more considerate. You're going to do everything you can to reverse the damage that's been done in this world that you might have done, or you just simply didn't help and let everything go to hell around you. You're just going to practice for the next life after. Because let me tell you, this one's pretty much over. No one's getting what they think they're getting. I don't care if we're going to win. It's not won already, and I'm pissed. It should have been won a long time ago. None of this should be happening. It shouldn't be continuing to happen. And it certainly is going to continue for a long time, hardship-wise. You are not getting through this without a real fight, a painful fight. You are not getting through this without suffering. And a lot of you are going to give it your all. You're going to be heroes. You are going to be heroes. Some of you already are heroes. But you're not going to make it. But you're going to die a hero. And I want you to prepare for the next life. Now, by fighting now, you are preparing for the next life. Because you're getting ready to be a better fighter, a more observant in the next life. You'll be more ready for this shit coming at you. You'll see the enemy coming a mile away. And you'll be much, much more prepared to deal with whatever bullshit they toss our way next time. Because it's going to happen again. And it is going to be you who is going to face it. Let me tell you, I promise you that. It's probably might not be me. I did my fight. I tried to warn you. I tried to prepare. I tried to save you. I tried to fix this world. I tried to make all new inventions and new philosophies and new religions and ways to look at this and look at that and unify this and bridge that. I did that. I spent my mind, my thoughts, my time, and my energy trying to advance myself and others around me. And I think I helped in some cases. And it may have slowed things down in a way, even though everything's timed perfectly, according to astronomy. But now it's your turn. You got to prepare. You are going to fight. You are going to fight a brutal fight. And I'm telling you now, you're going to lose. And you have to prepare for the afterlife in the next world. Just forget it. You're not going to win. I don't care if there's just a few stragglers. Don't assume it's you. Assume it's not you. I don't care how many survive. Assume you're the one who's not going to make it. You need to put up the fight right now. You need to get ready for that fight to survive as long as you can and to pass on what you now own. Figure out who is going to get your belongings right now. Who is going to take on the seeds you saved up, the guns and the ammo and the weapons? Who is going to get that now? Who is going to get it? And I got to get back to the shaman stuff. Shamans are taught ultimately in the end, after a lot of dreaming practices, intuitive practices, psychic, all kinds of astral projection and leaving the body and connecting and healing and filling up energy holes. And you astral project out of your body into other worlds and times and places, and generally they're not real. They're literally imaginative, but with full reality, basically a hologram, a mind hologram, in your own universe of the new one created between you and the master and your friend or whatever, and the mentor and so on. So, but in the end, beyond those stages, now, you do disappear. It does seem real. It's not. It's not physical. It feels physical. It doesn't always. Depending on which practice you use, one practice will make you think you're absolutely solid and everything around you solid. It's not. And then the other practice will just show you right away, oh, it never was. Oh, it wasn't. And you kind of have to get used to transitioning back and forth sometimes. But see, the reality is most of it is all mental in your mind, connected to reality, some pretty high reality connected to the real world, or just simply other people's minds and intentions, dreams. But it becomes, after you teleport in the dreams in the astral and literally go off world or to other towns next to you, fly through the sky and land in other countries even, literally, astrally though, with not your body is still at home in the bed or on the mat or in a tree even. But the practice does result in actual teleportation of the body. The body goes with it. It's sort of true and sort of not. In this world, it's dissolved. In the other world, it's preserved as if it's real, but it's really just a kind of computerized mind formula in your mind kind of thing. Oh, man, I got to clear my throat and drink this. Hold on. Let me do this. Hold on a second. So anyway, the shamans knew that. And I'm not absolutely convinced that's true, but I know devil worshipers. I have friends that basically seen them just disappear, literally, physically, in every way. Just poof, gone. They were definitely solid before that and definitely not there anymore. Gone. And this is the end of a lot of the practices. This is when you become the real master and above. And you go to other worlds. And they're not necessarily other worlds in your mind. They're other worlds on other planets. They are on other planets, Earth-like planets. You see all kinds of stuff. Gigantic things and tiny things and giant statues and giant buildings, sort of like the Mars face, all kinds of stuff. And probably even was the Mars face before it collapsed, to be honest, that I'm thinking of. Hold on, I need this drink, though. So they can do this. And they have powers. And that's a little bit of what I was kind of trained in. A little bit. By just some friends. And far from the full reality. I mean, I went in many paths, many paths from many people in many ways on my own. I figured everything out a lot on my own. I'm a natural. When you're an advanced soul, more or less one way or the other, you don't need to meditate. It's natural. I already did all this many lifetimes ago. Already learned this, already did it, already kind of activated it in myself. It just comes to you. You just naturally are occasionally psychic, or you might see auras. I really can't see auras very well at all. I started to on and off. I do kind of. It's more of a feeling. It's a mild color. It's nothing that strong. It's only strong when it's in my mind, but through my psychic eye, not my physical eyes. And I never really spent the time to develop it, to be honest. I really never had the time. I was working on one thing, then another, many phases. I have the whole picture, the overall entire infinite picture, kind of very weak and dispersed in many areas, but very focused on some, the primaries. And I know what to expect. I know what's out there. I know what's out there in the universe. I know more of what's here than others. In some ways, I just don't believe certain things myself yet. But we all need to practice everything we do, perfect everything we do, be more open-minded, more alert, more observant on all of these fronts: psychic, spiritual, physical, medical, mental, brain, and as a warrior. When you're a warrior, you're not supposed to just be somebody who shoots people with guns, but you're supposed to mentally figure out the enemy. What are they doing to your country politically? How are they bribing this? See, that's a soldier. A soldier is someone who fights the enemy. And there are many ways to fight the enemy, many ways to figure out who the enemy is, to be more observant and to see them. You know, you try to see them across the field. They might be in camo. They might not. You might see them. You might not. They might be in an invisible suit. They might not. Might be in bright red. You can shoot them pretty easy. Oh, wow. Oh, you know how to see the enemy. No, you don't. If you're only looking for a person invading you, you've missed the enemy. They just walked in with plain clothes. They're just plain clothes on and with a smile. They just went and propped themselves up in the judge's chair and the prosecutor's chair and the governor's chair and the mayor's chair. And they're behind this desk and behind that desk and the presidency. And they said, oh, we're not the enemy. Are you not? Oh, no, we're your friend. Oh, okay. All right, now where's the enemy? Oh, he's over there. There's some guns. Go shoot him. Okay. You guys are numbskulls. You are evil. See, that is evil. Why are they making you do this? It's because you do it. That means you're evil. You're evil. It does mean that. Ignorance is evil. Darkness is evil. An animal that takes good care of its young isn't good because it takes care of its young. And it goes out and it eats other animals. And it goes to one day try and taste this fruit over here that it's never tried before. And it dies. Wait, did it deserve to die? Why did God kill that animal? God killed that animal. Well, did the animal deserve to? Did he try to hurt that fruit? Try to kill it? Did he die because of that? No, he died because of ignorance. And he deserved to die. Deserved to. And that's how evolution happens. You eventually, after dying so many times from doing the wrong thing that you didn't mean to do wrong, it's because you'd had lack of knowledge. That's an evil. Well, if you're so easy, if it's so easy to come along and find a person, here's a group of people, they may be good, maybe they're bad. If they're so gullible and so, see, good people will not harm another person, at least ones they know are good or good enough, right? Not just simply inherently. They're certainly not going to take orders. Somebody walks up to you and just tells you to do something, you don't do it. You're not supposed to do it. If someone tells you, hey, I hate that guy over there in the crowd, kill him for me. Okay. I'll go. Yeah, I can do that. And no, if you are caring and loving, that's good. Good is goodness, feeling good, good about others, wanting good for others, wanting other people to be healthy and have happy lives. You do not just up and follow in order to kill them randomly. Well, that's exactly what you did. You're dangerous. See, the enemy has enemies. He needs to kill his enemies who are bad. They're over there. And here you are, the enemy could just as well come over here and tell you to go kill us and me and the general. If you're just going to go up and kill someone because someone walked up to you and asked you to kill them or be their slave or build this giant weapon for me and give me nukes for free, if you're just going to do it, if you're just going to hand over your life, your time, your labor, your knowledge just to any old person, well, that means you could have just handled it over to Hitler. You could hand that. It might as well be Genghis Khan. It might as well be anyone of any level of evil. That means you're evil. You're gullible. You can't be allowed to run amok because the enemy, another enemy, can come and find you and tell you to go kill me. So that is why the enemy, your enemy, tells you what to do. They tell you what to do because you listen. And you listening means you're evil, you're gullible, and you can't be trusted on your own. You can't be allowed to live your day. It means you're dangerous. You can be used by anyone to do any bad thing. You're the danger. You're the enemy. That was my logic as an elitist, and I was right. I was right then. The enemy is right about you, and I'm right about you now, and you deserve to die in any war you die in that you shouldn't be in. Now, I understand there's a lot of things going on to get you to do that and to make you think they really are the enemy. Quite often they are. They are bad people you were sent to kill. But they're usually being killed for a greater enemy's sake. And you yourself were the target. Now, if you just don't care about your own life, well, again, that's ignorant, that's stupid, that's dumb, that's suicidal. That's, you deserve to die. You deserve to get your foot blown off. You deserve to lose your eye. You deserve to lose your wife if she's your wife in battle. You were suckers. You were punks. You thought you were tough, and you weren't. You thought you were going to be heroes. On the other hand, some of you are. See my problem? I'm stuck in the middle. You're suckers. You're loser suckers, easily told what to do, easily working for just any old evil freaking ruler. Evil old bastard, just hand the knowledge to nuclear missiles right on over to, like, the damn Zionists. Just snap of a finger just like that. Think you're heroes. Cheer and wave flags. On the other hand, I used to feel for you, and I many times wanted to join and go battle with you. And would have had your back. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Back to the Yaqui Indians and shamans and stuff. They may or may not have disappeared. I don't entirely believe that, but it's not forever. And everyone keeps thinking they're going to escape this world, and the masters had just enough energy and time to create another world to escape to. No. No, you can't escape it. You're coming back. They're coming back. I'm back. I couldn't escape. You're not either. No one escapes. You get through it. You handle it. You get business done. You observe. You see the situation for what it is. You see the enemy for who they are. And you don't listen to them. And you don't feed the wolf. You do not help them. You do not assist them. Because karma is a lot worse than just a bitch. A hell of a lot worse. Many, many times they say you do one thing wrong, you get 10 things bad taken from you or happened to you. Or sometimes they only say three. It's probably three, but maybe it's only just once. Either way, whatever you do wrong to anyone, or whatever you do that simply ends, the result is harm to someone. Or simply, you should have saved a certain person that you didn't even know was going to save you, or would have saved the whole planet. Yeah, that could have been me. But you didn't do it. Yeah, it's just a nobody. I look too dirty. Oh, too bad for you. Oh, guess what? You got a coronavirus now. Oh, actually, it's not. We know. It's even worse than that. You got something they said was a vaccine that was the cure for all ills, and now you're gibbering, drooling, idiot in pain, magnetized. You're going to be sticking to giant capture magnets before you know it. You're going to be obliterated by 5G. You're going to be controlled to the same degree as in the movie Phantasm. You're a little troll now. You're captured. They're going to shrivel you up, put you in a container, and ship you out to Mars. They probably made you magnetic just so that they're able to teleport you to Mars instead of send you on Elon's, on an Elon mobile into space or whatever, right? With the fake car in space. It'll be you. That's what they really sent. Probably sent a pile of children into space. Whole bunch of them, man. There's so many other notes I never got to. Oh, my God. All right, I'm not going to be like this. It's almost time for Solaris, Blue Raven, and Bill Grant. We're going to be talking maybe about free energy and how I was nearly abducted, inducted, and so on into the space program and free energy and dumb bases and so on, and maybe other stuff and more psychic tips, possibly maybe more secrets about me that aren't entirely secrets. I've bleeped and blurped out about 10 years ago-ish in some minor brief moment. I tried to imply but it didn't matter. You weren't ready. I had hoped you were. You're not ready. You might be starting to be ready for the real Bill Grant. Not sure yet. Hopefully you'll all handle the situation. Hopefully the situation is much better than I think it is. But it's always better, and always is relative, to think it's worse and to prepare for the worst situation and to be completely ready as opposed to not ready at all or just not enough or just barely. If you're going to have a fight, you want to make it a quick, easy win. You don't want it to drag on for the next 50 years till the day you die, right? I want you to win. But you need to become more responsible. You're not going to win if you keep thinking you're winning. That's the reason I keep saying it. You're not winning. Let me tell you, you're not winning. The likelihood of that is very low unless you really dig down deep and you deserve the win. The only way you're going to be allowed to win is if, A, you deserve the bad future of rebuilding the world, unless you're condemned to rebuilding in a hardship time, or if you actually deserve so much so, a really good future, you have to deserve it. What do you deserve? It's time to pay your debts to your people, not the banks, your friends, your loved ones. Time to open up your mind. And I don't mean to craziness levels. And I do believe a lot of things you would think are crazy aren't crazy. But I mean, don't be just wishy-washy and believe anything and everything, at least not in the local sense. I don't mean loco, I mean local. This earthly sense. The immediate now. Always strive to find an alternative, normal reality, but believe that the alternative absurd reality might actually be real. Oops, and to not dismiss that as a real possibility. The more you believe is possible, the more you'll be allowed to see and allowed to do and allowed to handle. You have to let yourself, and you have to be allowed to. You have to deserve it. All right, this is Billy on B. This is Dreamer. Please join me in Solaris on the next adventure. More about free energy next time and not so much anger. Night, folks.
Listening to Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
we did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course.